Welcome to this special romantic edition of Talking Lamar. On this episode, we are talking about Valentine's Day, how it began, and a lot of fascinating facts that you may not know.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Sorry, I forgot what I was talking about.
What are you talking about?
I am talking to you.
That's just what I was talking about.
It's Talking Lamar.
It may surprise you to know that Valentine's Day has not always been candy, flowers, and cards. According to Roman legend, around 600 BC, King Amulus ordered Romulus and Remus, his twin nephews and founders of Rome, to be thrown into the Tiber River to drown. A servant took pity on them, however, and placed them inside a basket on the river instead. The basket floated down the river. They got hung on a vine. The brothers were then rescued and cared for by a she-wolf in a den. They grew up, went back, and killed King Amulus. To celebrate, they started the Feast of the Lupercal. Now, this kind of in this feast, there was like ritual sacrifice. Everybody's running around naked. Men are picking women's names out of a jar and hooking up, which would have been called a key party, but they didn't have keys back then. Over time, the naked part lost its popularity. I'm not sure how that happens, but it did. So the Fest of the Lupercal continued each February around the 14th. And on that day in the 3rd century AD, a man named Valentine was imprisoned by the Roman emperor for assisting persecuted Christians. He was told to reject his faith in Jesus or be killed. Valentine refused and was beheaded. So the Catholic Church declared him a saint. And in the late 5th century AD, Pope Gelasius eliminated the pagan celebration of Lupercalia and declared February the 14th a day to celebrate the martyrdom of Saint Valentine instead. It was not until the Middle Ages that the holiday became associated with love and romance. Now, history's first Valentine was written in perhaps one of the most unromantic places conceivable, a prison. Charles, Duke of Orleans, wrote the love letter to his second wife at the age of 21 while he was captured at the Battle of Agincourt. As a prisoner for more than 20 years, he would never see his Valentine's reaction to the poem that he penned her early in the 15th century. Now, we always like to give chocolates and stuff like that. The Valentine's Day tradition of giving a box of candy was started in the 19th century by Richard Cadbury. Huh, that's a recognizable name. Yeah. He was a descendant of a British chocolate manufacturing family. With a new technique recently established at the company to create more varieties of chocolate, Cadbury pounced on the opportunity to sell chocolates as part of the beloved holiday. I'm pretty sure Richard could not have envisioned that his company would one day be selling 500 million cream eggs a year.
Wow.
That's how many of those Cadbury eggs are sold every year. Now, Cupid, we don't know where that, you know, it came through Greek mythology, so it's come from. Cupid didn't start out as a chubby, winged, arrow-shooting little guy that appears on Valentine's Day cards. The figure can actually be traced all the way back to 700 BC to the Greek god of love, Eros, who was actually a very handsome, immortal man with the intimidating power to make people fall in love. And it wasn't until the 4th century BC that the Romans adopted Eros into the image of a cute little boy with a bow and arrow, and they named him Cupid. And by the turn of the 19th century, Cupid had become linked to Valentine's Day due to his love-matching powers. Now, the first mass-produced Valentines didn't come along until 1840. People started exchanging cards and handwritten letters to both lovers and friends during the 17th century, but it was in the 1840s that the first Valentine's Day cards were mass-produced in the U.S., and they were sold by Esther A. Howland, known as the mother of the American Valentine. Howland is credited with commercializing Valentine's Day, for all the cards in America, and she's remembered for her elaborate, crafty cards made with lace and ribbons. And somewhere along the line, Hallmark picked up on that deal. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with some more facts.
We are so excited about Bob and Sherry Premium. Well-marbled, juicy, and always fresh with loads of behind-the-scenes photos and videos, exclusive content including our classic chat room calls and our best-of CDs. And best of all, it's just $4.99 a month. BobandSherry.com/premium.
Back with some very interesting facts about the holiday, Valentine's Day, that we all celebrate. The tradition of giving Valentine's Day flowers dates back to the 17th century, because giving red roses may be an obvious romantic gesture today, but it wasn't until the late 17th century that giving flowers became a very popular custom. In fact, the practice can be traced back to when King Charles II of Sweden learned the language of flowers, which pairs different flowers with different meanings. Like on a trip to Persia, and subsequently, he introduced this tradition to Europe. The act of giving flowers then became a popular trend during the Victorian era. I really appreciate these people doing this, because this has really helped me spend an enormous amount of money all my life. If it hadn't been for them, there's no telling what kind of car I could be driving.
And of course it would be royalty that did that. Because a greater luxury than a gift of flowers? Because it's not going to last. They're beautiful and then they're gone. Of course that's right. Going to be royalty, Lamar. Yeah, no wonder you're bitter.
Yeah. Now, of course, the traditional red roses symbolize deep love. That's got to be the most popular, color. Nearly 250 million roses are grown in preparation for Valentine's Day each year. And there's a science to ensuring that there are enough fresh roses to go around when it comes to February the 14th. In an effort to provide the flowers for the holiday, countries including Ecuador, Kenya, or Colombia ship the roses to the U.S. because in those cold temperatures, it's hard for us to grow them, and we can't keep up with the demand on Valentine's Day. The color of a flower given on Valentine's Day, it has meaning to it. I know it's red roses or the traditional ones, but I don't do red roses. I like purple. But they have, deep pink, the purple or white. They symbolize happiness. There's all kind of different ways to go. Of course, a year or so, I guess it was it last year, Sherry, 2 years ago, when I gave the clown arrangement?
The psychedelic,
Oh, yeah.
Do not purchase multicolored roses over the phone. You're going to want to see them, okay? You're going to want to see them, okay? You don't want that just doesn't work out. According to the National Retail Foundation, Americans spent $26 billion on Valentine's Day gifts in 2023.
Say that number again.
$26 billion on Valentine's Day gifts in 2023. They say people are expected this year to spend an average of $193 total cost for Valentine's Day.
So that's gift taken out to do. That seems cheap. If that includes candy, flowers, card, dinner, that seems like you're getting off kind of easy.
Well, on the scale, some people do absolutely nothing. Some people do a little, so you've got a whole scale here, but they said total is $26 billion. Americans send 145 million Valentine's Day cards each year. That's a lot. And that's not counting all the little Valentines in classrooms. That's just adult cards.
I want you to think about the profit margin there, because when was the last time you bought a greeting card that was less than $6?
That's so true.
We're done with that. I'm done with that. We got done with that years ago. Listen, I'll sit down and I'll pin something out or whatever. I'm not paying $6 or $7 for a card.
Do you know what I'm doing this year? I found some old pictures. You go to the drugstore and you can make your own card with your own pictures that cost about the same amount, and it's a lot more personal, and it shows you took some effort. And I can say this because there's
how long does
there's
that
no
take?
Danger. There's no danger that she's going to actually be listening to this. I think that it probably took me the last time that I did something like that, it took me less than 10 minutes.
So you can walk right into, because I've not done
so
this.
What you do walk is right you, in. You walk in and you find where the pictures are, you hook them up, and then you drop the pictures in, and it gives you some ideas on layout and the kind of card that it looks like, and you can just pick that and do it, and you're in and out in
it's
no
a
time
little,
flat.
It's a little kiosk, Bob. You swipe your credit card. It's super easy.
Walgreens
is where I did it. Yeah, I will say that. Yeah, Walgreens is where I did it.
That's very cool. Well, I'm going to do that for Carla. Hey, Carla won't hear this either. So
this is where we can tell all of our darkest secrets.
I can tell. Every once in a while, Carla say, "What kind of stories are you telling about me?" I said, "Sweet things, baby, sweet things."
The only time Bridget hears about it, she has a coworker who's a big fan, right? And she'll say, the coworker said, "Did you talk about such and such?" And I went, "Oh, darn."
Can I tell you how my husband accidentally hears things we do? He'll be listening to one of the podcasts he subscribes to, like Bear Grease, you know, which is on the Meat Eaters Network. It's an outdoor living podcast. And at the end of that podcast, at the end of the episode, his Apple podcast will automatically play the next thing in his feed. And sometimes it's one of our podcasts. That's it. It literally has to be forced upon him by an algorithm, because otherwise, no, that's the first thing that happens when one of us gets into a relationship. Whoever that person is like, "Oh, I used to really enjoy your show, but I'm never going to listen again."
I can't blame them. I'm just using me as an example.
Yeah.
They're around me all. She's around me all day long, all night long. How much can a woman take?
You know, you could phrase it a different way for your self-esteem, Bob. You could say, "She's around me all day and all night. How much more could a woman want?"
You know, he's not worried about his self-esteem. Good. He lost that a long time ago.
I could fight to get it back. She's right.
Yeah.
She is exactly
Come on, buddy.
Right. Well, that's very interesting. I learned something. And I love the thing with the drugstore. I'm going to do that
now,
for birthdays and Valentine's.
Yeah.
This amount of cards on Valentine's Day makes it the second biggest holiday for exchanging greeting cards. Christmas is the first. Bob's doing his best to destroy that because he's no longer sending out cards. But, I mean, Christmas is still the first.
I'm not trying to destroy it for the entire nation. You know, I'm just not a little bit of an overstatement there. I'm just not sending them out anymore because people don't want them. They just don't. They go, "Oh, Bob is still sending cards. I got to go buy a card for Bob now." Just not doing it.
Never mind. Go ahead. No, I'm going to let it go. No, so it's not the effort you're taking. You're concerned that the effort you're taking is making other people. It is the most convoluted, crazy logic. It just almost doesn't make sense.
It's the truth. I can picture one person in my life. It's a couple. I've known them forever. And they don't. I guarantee you they don't send out Christmas cards. But I was every year I was including them. And then this is how you can tell. Then the card comes in like 5 seconds before Christmas Eve. And they got my card. They went, "Oh, Jesus." And they go out and they do it. That's right.
Well, you didn't have to go out. They had to go out.
They had to go out.
Go ahead. Here's a quiz. Who every year receives the most Valentine's Day cards? Who?
Mothers?
Taylor Swift.
Mothers?
No, they're in the list, but they're not number one.
I will say the guy.
Side action?
No.
No?
Surely there's not that much cheating going on.
I hope not.
On.
Yeah. I hope not.
Okay. I think a guy gets it from his sweetheart because women are more thoughtful in this area.
No. Teachers. Teachers get more Valentine's Day cards. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
All right. Then second is children. Third is mothers. Yeah. And fourth is wives.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
So. Needless to say, we've come a long way from 1913, which was when Hallmark started the cards. That's when they produced their first ones. God, they are just tonnage. You can't print it as fast as they're making it. Many, many years ago, that booklets were created to help people write Valentine's. If you needed help finding the right words to send to your loved ones in the 19th century, you could purchase a Valentine's writer. The booklets contain sample text that could be used to express your love if, you know, if you're not, weren't very good at it.
Yeah, that's dicey.
Oh, I
because
wish
she knows whether or not you have that sort of skill. You know,
I wish you had some examples of that. That would be really
I know.
Interesting. Yes. But, you know, back then people were more formal. You know, like you're
yes,
right, Bob. If you sent if you sent Mary a Valentine that says, "My darling sweetheart, how I swoon at the thought of the summer breeze caressing your alabaster skin," she would be like, "What the fuck have you done?" Right?
Yeah.
But back then, people only could communicate through letters. They didn't have phones or
the
internet.
And they had more skills that way. Yeah.
And everything was more formal. I bet some of that stuff was really beautiful. Yeah.
Could you say that again? Could you say that again, Sherry?
Which part?
You're right, Bob. You're right, Bob.
Oh, you're right, Bob.
Thank you. So good.
That would be the ultimate Valentine's for Bob. Roses are blue, black as the night. Let me say it again, Bob, you were right. That would be the ultimate Valentine for you.
Yeah. Well, there's always something to hope for.
Now, let's don't forget, our furry friends, they need love too. 27.6 million American households gave Valentine's Day presents to their dogs.
Oh,
and more than 17 million picked up gifts for the cat. All in all, American households spent an estimated $751 million on gifts for their pets on Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's Day. Dang, that's great.
Yeah,
that does not surprise me.
No!
That does not surprise me.
No.
Oh, no. Max lives in a world where the schnauzer has a larger wardrobe budget than he does.
Can I tell you something that happened? She went, it's Mojo's birthday. And I went, she says, I got him some gifts online. Oh, that's great. And then she's like, in a panic, they're going to be too late for his birthday. And I went, I think he's going to be okay with it. I'm pretty sure he doesn't know which day it is. It's just, you know, it's all right.
Yeah.
I feel like you could skate on that a little bit.
Yeah. Carla made me take Darby in the other room when she wrapped the Christmas present for her because she didn't want Darby to see it. She wanted her to be surprised. And tell you the truth, I did too, so I ain't going to say nothing. So, all right, now, the most popular gift to give is candy. According to the National Retail Federation, most people will give candy and greeting cards to their loved ones. Although many will also spend money on flowers and gift cards and clothes, you know, some do jewelry, some do activities. Americans plan to spend more than $5.5 billion on jewelry and nearly $4.4 billion on special evening out. Now, I like the evening out. That's my favorite part is the evening out. I don't think a lot of people enjoy that. The first heart-shaped box of chocolates was introduced in 1861. Again, it was created by Richard Cadbury, and he started packaging the chocolates in fancy boxes to increase the sales. And he introduced the first heart-shaped box of chocolates for Valentine's Day in 1861. And today, they are more than 36 million heart-shaped boxes of chocolate sold each year. That's 58 million pounds of chocolate.
You know, we're talking about him today, and I'm glad that Richard Cadbury is getting all this credit. But, you know, you would think in the moment when you're accomplishing something big in your life, like inventing the heart-shaped candy box, you would think, well, I'm going to be remembered by history for this. No, you're not. No, you're not. It's going to take Lamar digging that fun fact up for a podcast for anybody to give you any credit. It's kind of sad. Round of applause for Richard Cadbury. Come on. He deserves something for that.
Now, this, I think this, as far as candy goes, this is very interesting. Conversation Hearts. You know what that is? You know,
oh, I love this.
My true Leo. Yeah. Conversation Hearts got their start as medical lozenges. A Boston pharmacist named Oliver Chase invented a machine that simplified the way medical lozenges were made, you know, for sore throats and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So the result of this was America's first candy-making machine. Because the pharmacist soon started shifting his focus from making lozenges to candy, Chase founded the New England Confectionery Company. You know what that stands for?
Nestle.
Necco.
Oh, Necco.
Necco. Necco wafers.
Oh, yeah. Necco wafers, yeah. Yes. And so the candy lozenges that he made soon became what we know as the Necco wafers. But it wasn't until 1866 that we first got sweet printed messages on the conversation hearts. It was Oliver's brother, Daniel, who started printing sentimental messages on the Necco sweethearts. Through these candies, they were communicating everybody's love. They were a lot bigger versions than what we have today because they could get a lot more on there. So they featured much longer printed sayings. Some of the first messages were, "Married in white, you have chosen right." And, "How long shall I have to wait? Please be considerate."
Aren't you glad that they jumped into candy and didn't stay medicine? Because if we got pills with messages printed on them today, they would all say things like, "Have you considered losing weight?" Or, "Maybe it's just anxiety." Or,
"Well, no.
are you drug seeking?"
And today, if they were doing it today, it would have to be as big as a plate because it would have to tell you all of the possible side effects that this was going to give.
That is so true.
All right. How many conversation hearts do you think they manufacture every year?
Oh, it's got to be in the tens of millions because they come like 100 to a bag, right?
More than 8 billion conversation hearts are manufactured wow. every year. And Necco has to make them year round. They can't stop because each box has approximately 45 sayings like "true love," "hug me," "you rock." And you can get some personalized too. You can order those. But if you still have last year's box, don't throw them away. They have a shelf life of 5 years.
They're made of chalk and baby's tears, so I would imagine they would last forever. Is there any way that Necco could make those things taste better? Every year you go, oh, it's a little Valentine's Day heart. And there's a part of your brain that thinks, maybe it'll be delicious. And it never,
it's never
ever
delicious.
Is.
It's never good.
Delicious. Yeah. Now, in 2019, nobody could find any conversation hearts because Necco went out of business in 2018 and they sold the Necco wafers and sweethearts to Spangler Candy. They're the creators of the Dum Dum lollipops. Due to the new manufacturing needs, Spangler, they couldn't produce 8 billion of the candy heart. They couldn't do it. And they put out a statement and said, "There are a lot of manufacturing challenges and unanswered questions at this point. We want to make sure these brands meet consumer expectations when they re-enter the market," meaning we don't want them to make them taste any better than what they are right now. It's going to taste like crap. But so when they got geared up, they were able to do it. But that whole year, nobody got any. Now, and when they came back in 2022, they added words of encouragement. Now the candies have phrases like "way to go," "crush it," "high five." So, you know, that way it's just a different message. Now this is weird. I don't guess it's not weird. I'm not shooting me surprised. It is one of the most popular days. Valentine's Day is one of the most popular days for proposals. I mean, I guess you already got the flowers. You already got the candy, you know, still Christmas Day and New Year's Day are still more people ask the wedding question on those days. But Valentine's Day is number three. And
what do you think
a
about
lot of
that?
People like.
What do you think about a Christmas Day proposal? What do you think about that?
Nah, I'm against it.
Tell me why, because I am too. I want to hear why you're against it.
I'm against it because you are, I think you're trivializing the proposal because you're doing it in the midst of some other celebration. The proposal should stand on its own. By the same
way,
we don't think Kelce should be proposing to Taylor at Super Bowl. This is something that you do. It used to be something you do just the two of you. Now, if you don't have a video crew and a helicopter and a drone, you know, I mean.
Yeah. Are you even serious?
It hijacks Christmas. It hijacks Christmas. And the other thing is, if you propose on Valentine's Day, it's like, I don't know, you're kind of a cheapskate. Well, I already got a dinner out and I already got some candy, so I'm going to, you know, put it all together and I can be done with the whole thing. No,
I wouldn't do it.
A proposal stands by itself.
I agree. I wouldn't do it on Valentine's Day because I already think I'm being hijacked because this is created for revenue. I mean, I'm sorry, it is. It's created for revenue, and I've already been hijacked, and so I wouldn't.
Here's my thing about a Christmas proposal. Everybody is celebrating Christmas, but now, to Bob's point, now it's not about Christmas anymore. It's about Wayne and Debbie committing to get married. And it just, I don't know. Like, it just feels like maybe don't do that to Christmas. But we could be wrong. There could be people out there that have had Christmas proposals that have a whole different perspective on it.
And if they're happy with that, God, that's you, buddy. That's you. Do what you need to do. It's just for me personally, I wouldn't do it. Now, there's a couple of different ways it's celebrated around the world. In Latin American countries, the holiday is called Day of Lovers or the Day of Love and Friendship. And couples exchange flowers and chocolate on this day. And the holiday's focus is also directed at showing gratitude to your friends. So it's less than romantic. It's more like family and friends. Now, in Japan, and I know this is true because the first time it happened, I was like, what? In Japan, it's customary for just the women to give confections to the men with the quality of the chocolate indicating their true feelings.
Oh.
Women don't get nothing. Women don't get nothing on Valentine's Day. Now, on March the 14th, exactly 1 month later, the men repay the favor by celebrating White Day. And then it's their turn to do something. But on Valentine's Day, it's the women giving to the men. And then a month later, the men give to the women.
And you said that the quality of chocolate reflects how she feels about you. So, like, what would be the crappiest chocolate that you would give somebody? What would that be? Would it be that weird waxy coating on off-brand M&Ms?
Milk chocolate with a waxy coating. That's terrible.
Oh, that would be, or like Milk Duds are a quality candy. And if you're concerned that you have a loose filling, eat a Milk Dud and you'll get confirmation. But the chocolate on the outside of a Milk Dud, can we all agree that that's a melted brown crayon? Can we all just agree
it's terrible.
That?
And it falls apart from the rest of the dud.
It's so gross.
It's awful.
It really is. There's Valentine's Day horror movies are a thing for some people. Some people prefer to get their heart rates up by watching a scary movie or something like that. One of the most popular is the 1981 film My Bloody Valentine, but there's a bunch of them. And so some people, maybe they stay at home and do that. Now, do y'all remember Galentine's Day?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Parks and Recreation. Amy Poehler's, Leslie Knope in 2010, she created Galentine's Day, and it's all about the ladies celebrating the ladies. It's like Lilith Fair without the angst. And they got frittatas. That's what she said, plus frittatas. And that's still a thing. People still do it. Now, XOXO, that didn't always mean hugs and kisses. It is a popular signature this time of year, but the origins of the signature, however, come from the Middle Ages. During those times, the X symbolized the cross, and the letters ended with the sign of the cross and then a kiss to symbolize an oath. But as the gesture became more popular in literature and letters and paperwork, it became to mean something had been sealed with a kiss. So that's where the XO stuff comes from. Valentine's Day has typically been associated with romantic love and partnership, but out of a poll of 1,500 people, only 59% of spouses planned on giving their partners a gift, while that same group, 85% of the parents planned on giving their children something for February the 14th.
I always gave my girls Valentine's gifts. I still buy them little goofy things and send them off to school. But yeah, I think you reach a sad point in your relationship when you're like, oh, is today Valentine's Day?
Yeah, I'm not for the day, but I'm sure not going to ignore the day. I mean, you're looking for trouble. I think it's not good for your relationship. It's like people that refuse to give presents at Christmas time to each other. Oh, yeah, we don't do that. We don't exchange gifts. Really? Got to exchange something. I mean, you got to do something, I would think.
Even if it's something, like, even if you just do each other's Christmas stocking and it's just little silly things in there.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what's really sad, and Bob and I have seen this, when somebody says, oh, Valentine's Day is stupid. We don't exchange gifts. And then you look over at his wife, and she looks like the saddest basset hound at the shelter, because she would very much like to be.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know that couple, Bob? She would very much like to be celebrating.
Without a doubt, she's very quiet. She doesn't say anything.
Very quiet.
Yeah. She's thinking, I could kill you in your sleep.
Right. And, sir, she could. Like, have you got the Investigation Discovery Channel?
Oh, yeah. Wives with knives. Lovebirds are actually birds. It's a popular term, but it's the common name for the Agapornis birds. It's a type of parrot that is a native to the continent of Africa. They can be found throughout the eastern and southern regions of Africa. These animals typically travel in pairs, which is why couples are referred to as lovebirds.
So they don't mate for life like some birds do?
Mm-mm. No.
Like swans mate for life,
yes.
And then when they lose their mate, they're so sad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, there is an official Valentine's Day alternative for singles, which we should have brought this up while we're doing the singles for the contest and stuff. International Quirky Alone Day. That's a real thing. It's a holiday for single people. And it's on the same date. It's not anti-Valentine's Day, but it's rather a moment to celebrate, you know, loving yourself and platonic relationships that you have. And International Quirky Alone Day has been celebrated since 2003.
Here's why we should make a bigger deal. Here's why we should make a bigger deal of that. Because there's so much pressure in our culture to pair off and couple up. And you'll see people that will settle for something really toxic and gross and unhealthy just because they don't want to, quote unquote,
be alone.
Haven't we all known that situation?
Yep. Exactly. William Shakespeare inspired a tradition that I did not know. Sherry, you may know this. Writing letters to Juliet. Have you heard of this?
Ooh,
it's a Valentine's Day tradition. Yeah. They started in 2010. From the film Letters to Juliet. Around Valentine's Day, thousands of letters are sent to Verona, Italy, addressed to the Romeo and Juliet character, Juliet. These love letters to Juliet are filled with emotion and passion and sometimes heartbreak. Volunteers called Juliet's secretaries read through each letter, and they write responses back, and they pick a winner of the Dear Juliet a prize. The winner gets to visit Juliet's home in Verona and attend a special ceremony. That's sort of cool.
I love that. And that actually, if you want to watch like a sweet little romantic movie for Valentine's Day, Letters to Juliet, it gets you in the feels. It does.
Yeah. We have four states in this country that have a city named Valentine. Arizona, Nebraska, Texas, and Virginia. Each one has a city with the name Valentine. And in Virginia and Texas, you can get a special holiday postmark at the post office for that.
See, that's a level of romantic boyfriend behavior that I can't even imagine outside of a movie starring Freddie Prinze Jr. Like, I cannot imagine a real man that I have ever known. The most romantic of them. I cannot imagine that man figuring out and doing all the planning and advanced planning to get that done. That's next level.
Yeah. Yep. All right, what do you think the most popular restaurant is on Valentine's Day? Type of food.
Steak?
Steak.
Nope. Italian.
Italian.
Italian yep. Steak?
Italian is the most searched for restaurant cuisine at Valentine's Day. On Valentine's Day, Italian restaurants as a whole have a 27% increase in interest. The second most searched restaurant, I don't know, because I think, don't you think Italian is sort of the, you know, it's got, it feels like romantic. It feels.
Of course, I feel that way. But then, you know, there's a lot of garlic involved. So that made me, that popped in. Why do you think, Bob? Why do you think that would be the most popular Valentine's Day?
Because of Lydia and the Tramp.
I was thinking the same thing. Exact same thing. Plus, when you close your eyes and you think about the interior of an Italian, a classic Italian restaurant, what are you thinking of? Yes. Candlelit?
Oh, yes.
You know, you can kind of see.
There's not that many French restaurants. There's not that many French restaurants in the United States. They're very expensive if they're very good. And there's usually a Chinese restaurant and an Italian restaurant in every town of any size. So I think, you know. That's probably the reason why. And Italian food is sexy.
Delicious.
I don't have a problem with that. Now, according to Spotify, what at Valentine's Day is the most streamed song? Valentine's Day on love theme playlist.
So is this a pop song or is this more of a...
A standard.
Yeah.
Hazard.
Give us a hint.
I think it's Hazard.
I think you could
categorize this as a pop song. I mean, it hadn't been around all that many years.
My heart will go
on. Let me just talk to Max for a minute. Didn't you and I just absolutely hate having to play that record in the morning? I mean,
it was the worst morning drive.
It was terrible. Awful.
It was.
Which one? What? Awful. What?
Hazard by Richard Marx.
Oh,
God.
That was
drives
nice.
Her down to the river and kills her.
Oh
yeah,
my God. It was just like, we're playing this in the morning. Get up, everyone. Go to work.
So I have to think. It's not going to be every breath you take because that's a stalker song.
This was okay. Give us another. Released minute. In 2013. It was released in 2013.
I kissed a girl.
Wait a second. So let me see. Just the Way You Are.
Nope.
The Bruno Mars song? Oh, yeah. That's a good guess.
That's a
good guess.
So 2013. Perfect by Ed Sheeran?
Nope.
Oh, that's a really good guess. That's more recent than 2013, though.
Yeah.
I think. Thanks to COVID, my sense of time is so whack. Like when you say 2013, I think, oh, that was like 6 years ago. No, it was not. Thanks to COVID, we all lost like 3 years. Yeah. And it's a ballad, I'm assuming.
Yes.
You know what's really disgraceful? We are radio professionals. We can't think of what this song is.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Go ahead.
All of Me by John Legend.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. God, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's the most added song in playlist at Valentine's.
Mm-hmm. I'm ashamed.
I can see that. Yeah,
it goes up 50%. It goes up. The streaming goes up 50% on Valentine's Day.
That's one of the biggest wedding songs too. Now I read that somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, this is something that I don't know. I guess it doesn't surprise me. More Americans skip Valentine's Day than you realize. Whether they're single or the holiday's cheesy or they don't want to spend the money or whatever, 51% of adults surveyed by the Retail Federation says they're not celebrating Valentine's Day. They're not doing anything.
There are are a lot of people who think it's a made-up holiday just to make money.
Yeah.
And again, Bob and I have been at some social functions where some guy is like, it's a made-up holiday. It's bullshit. I'm not going to participate. And right behind him is the world's saddest basset hound looking like she very much would like to get a card and some flowers.
It's true.
But there Here's are the deal. People that take that stand.
It's a made-up holiday, guy, but it ain't made up for you. It's made up for your wife.
That's true.
And that's, you know, it's like for guys, it's a test. It's a test. It's a test. What are you doing? Well, this is, you know, this is your day to, you know, this is like when you go out somewhere and you have to put on some real clothes to go eat somewhere. It's not for you. It's for your wife. She wants to see you dress up and do something. Yeah, that's what.
Let me also speak to those men. You may not care what she wants, and you may not care about the made-up holiday, but your failure to observe it is such a black mark against you among her friends and family. So if nothing else, sir, think of your own public relations and how you want to manage that, because they are watching, and they will be all over her. Oh, my God, I can't believe he ignored Valentine's Day again. And it, just go ahead and do something. Do something.
Yes, just do it. I mean, that's just crazy. That's crazy. That's my advice to all the men that might be listening to this.
Do something.
That's right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Talking Lamar. I want to thank everybody for spending time with us. I hope all of your Valentine dreams come true. And I will expect you back for the next episode because, as you know, I hate a quitter. Till next time. Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to Talkin' Lamar, the Oddcast, and the Bob and Sherry Podcast. We would really love it if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again for listening.